Veterans salutes those who served. Veterans Ride Free Tuesday, November 11th. And every other day of the year, our veterans and active duty military personnel get a 50% discount on all fares. It's all part of COTA's ongoing commitment to show appreciation for your selfless service. To ride at no cost on fixed routes, tell your bus operator that you're a veteran or use code VET2025 in the app to use COTA Plus. Veterans Ride Free on Tuesday, November 11th for Veterans Day. Veterans get a 50% discount every day on COTA. Plan your ride and learn more at coda.com/trip planner.
The specialists Phil and Blake are back, and today we are recapping episode number 6 of season 2 of Deal or No Deal Island. No Philip Solomon here today after that cliffhanger where it made him look like he was in danger, but I don't actually think he's eligible to go home at the start of this week. So there is that, but no Philip today. If you haven't checked out our interview with Philip, make sure you check that out from last week. Want to drop that in here right now. But Blake, here we are. We are diving into episode number 6. For the first time this season, we didn't have somebody actually get eliminated. Instead, they ended it on a cliffhanger where Philip and CK are yelling at each other. Blake, you're booing, but I have a text from you. And I'm going to read this out loud because I just need people to get this verbatim quote. This is pretty crazy, guys. Pretty crazy. He said, "That's another good episode, LOL." Now, I know that might not seem like a lot, but for Blake to say that was a good episode, he doesn't say things like that. Normally, it's, "I hate my life. I hate this. I don't want to watch this anymore. This is so terrible. Why are we even doing this show?" And now here he is. "That was another good episode. LOL." Blake, what is it about Deal or No Deal Island that's starting to click with your reality fan brain?
I have to do my favorite sequence first, and then I'll tell you why I actually think it is firing on all cylinders. Finally, we have a, "Whenever I jumped off of this, I'm just going to imagine my entire family is on fire. And the only way I can save them is to grab this ring. R.I.P. to the Caderos. I could not save you."
That jump by Stacial was so bad. I felt so bad for her because it was one of those where obviously the fear was getting into her a little bit there. Her fear of heights was there. But even if she didn't have a fear of heights, is she getting any higher than that? This reminded me of in what was it, Survivor 46?
Two seasons ago, somebody can't jump.
Yeah, where Mariah couldn't jump. So they were doing jump training for her and they kept showing her vertical and she was literally leaving the ground by like less than an inch.
Did people just forget how to jump? Was that not a thing anymore? Or open the jump rope schools or something?
I think people are just, they overthink it. You know, I think that's really what it comes down to. I think you just overthink it. If you get to the edge, especially when there's like a ledge in front of you, if you tell somebody to go jump at a basketball net, right? Like most of them could figure out, even if they're going to do a run up and then freeze and then jump, which you've seen so many people do, they're still going to jump. They're still going to be able to give their all to a jump. I think when there's a ledge in front of you, it freaks people out. I really do think it freaks people out. So that's what I got from
Interesting. Well, this episode was jam-packed. I think what truly is happening is we have 9 people left, I think. And it completely worked out perfectly of like all the threats were safe. All of the lower non-threats are up for elimination. Mm-hmm. And then smack dab in the middle of everything is Lete. And whenever she has to make a decision, she's going to do honor or something that makes sense in the moment, and like some people are going to disagree, some people are going to go whatever, and like we're seeing all of this crazy fire back and forth, but we know we're not going to lose one of our celebrities and we know we're not going to lose Philip. So it is kind of like, what a perfect episode if everyone gets to breathe a little bit, that we want to like stick around. They're all even more mad at each other. Mm-hmm. We have somebody blowing up an alliance because they feel like they were left in the dust after they cheated.
Dude, we got to talk about that.
Like, it was so funny seeing Joe's face being like, "I don't think you can do that." Like, and instead of like, "Let's stop the presses," or "She's immediately up for nomination," it was just like, "We're just going to redo that." And like, I think that's an interesting thing of how many times does that happen on a production and you just don't show it to your audience, but like clearly it's going to matter narratively. Mm-hmm. Of like, "Miss, I am honor and I play everything with this CK immediately cheats whenever in front of everyone. And you're like, okay, so you're going to be all honor until there's like one maybe possibility you can get over. And like, I'd love to talk to CK about what's going on through her head of like, no, I really just, it was a lapse of judgment, or it was like, I purposely did that because I thought no one would pay attention and there's not 15 cameras.
Well, it's funny because now we're in season two of Deal or No Deal Island. And in season one, Boston Rob cheats in the last challenge, or one of the last challenges of the season. And the thing with Boston Rob when he cheats is you're not really like, he doesn't really like go like, oh, that's not like me. He just more blames it on the producers. Like, well, you didn't explain the rules right. Right. Like, whereas CK is like, oh, I got caught. I am so sorry. That's not who I am as a person. We're sitting here as an audience. Like,
it literally is.
Well, we don't know that really about you. Like, and I feel like she tried to save face, but like Willie D says, she really thought she'd get away with that. Now, granted, we did just see on season 47 of Survivor, Rachel Lamont trying to steal her rice in her pant pockets. And she doesn't get away with it. She gets caught, but she ends up winning the season. However, I think there's a little bit of a difference, right, between trying to steal some rice because you're like, I'm just hungry, and trying to manipulate a game. I mean, Joe's reaction of, what did that just fall back in? And then he comes to the realization, and there had to have been, I'm sure if Will was doing this podcast with us right now, he would call out exactly what happened. But there had to have been a challenge producer or somebody sitting there going, you can't do that. We need to shut this down. And I'm sure there was some sort of edit that made it better. And I'm sure that CK got yelled at a little bit more than what we saw here. But then Lete gets really mad, and rightfully so, because CK's trying to put Lete on the spot as much as she can. The whole thing is just crazy to me. And again, these challenges are so convoluted. They really are so convoluted.
Oh, like, my God.
Another like... word. But convoluted. And so for when they're so convoluted, it's almost like you do forget you're playing a reality TV show and that you're not just playing a board game with your friends. I don't know, like if you were playing Villainous and you were playing as the evil queen and you totally cheated at one point so that nobody would notice. I'm not calling anybody out specifically, oh but maybe God. Blake, when he did that, when he was playing with my wife and I, and he thought that he was going to get away with it.
It's
and then I
literally
called
a one-time thing. You've mentioned it 15 times.
And I'm just saying,
it's just a lapse of judgment. You know, it wasn't in front of any cameras.
Yeah.
It was, I know you guys are, maybe that's the idea of a brand new person playing this when they're up against legends like Parvati and Dr. Will and David is like, maybe I cheat a little bit because I need to level the playing field here. And maybe that's what's going through CK's mind. I think what was super funny about this situation is like, it just immediately blew up an alliance. It immediately blew up like someone's psyche. It immediately blew up everybody's they can't even pretend that they weren't involved. It's like you. And like, I think what's funny about this ever moving, like, you can't take one alliance all the way through because you guys are not going to be safe. Like that happened with Maria Grace last week of she's the only one not safe. So she gets eliminated because, and like, that's how your alliance has to work is like, we're going to work with five of us and hope we get further. It's not guaranteed that us five will be the final five because of how the cases work. Yeah. And like, you have to kind of take that at face value of like, that's a pretty good thing. And I don't want to work with those other people. And CK gets the short stick and immediately goes, you guys don't have my back.
Well, and Philip talked about that in the episode last week a little bit, where there's a different strategy to a game like this than there is to Survivor, there is to Big Brother, there is to The Traitors or one of these other shows where every time you put somebody up, they have a 50-50 chance of surviving and they can turn around and just pick somebody else to go home. So you really do need to find a way to play a middle of the road game. And I think that, you know, somebody like Lete has been playing a very middle of the road game. And now CK blows her up, blows up Philip, does all of this. At the same time, I don't think anybody's taking CK all that seriously. And this ultimately is just going to lead to everybody hating her so much more. And it did feel like, okay, I got caught. So now I need to put a target on somebody else. Hey, all is fair. That's what you're supposed to do when you're playing these types of games, right? Like, if you feel like you're the one who's in danger, spin it on somebody else, make them look like the bad guy. But I did feel like all of this kind of came out of nowhere. And the people who were playing good middle of the road games, your Phillips, your Lettes, all of a sudden their backs are against the wall a little bit more. And so now you're sitting here and you're going, okay, are the celebrities just going to run this? Like, are the celebrities really going to win this with Dixon? And that's what we're going to see, because this season, more than last season, maybe I'm wrong in this, but it feels like there's a lot more opportunity for people to be safe on this season than last season. I feel like last season, it was a lot of one of the bottom two people is going up to play the banker. One of the top two people is making that decision. Everybody else is in danger. Whereas this season, it feels like it's three or four people every week that are actually in trouble. And this week, you look at the four people who are in trouble, and the way the game is being designed with these challenges, these super convoluted challenges, you're seeing people like Parvati protect Dr. Will, which might go against what seems in her best interest, but it is in her best interest because they're the biggest threats out there. So all of that's happening, and these people who are trying to play middle of the road are kind of skating by, skating by, skating by. Now CK does this, and I actually do think that this might have just leveled the playing field for everybody, maybe with the exception of Lachelle, who I don't think Lachelle's on anybody's radar as somebody to be concerned about in the season. I think she's just out there having a nice time.
There is a lot of like, what's going on? How can we eliminate threats if people are playing around Dr. Will's strategy as well, of mm-hmm. like Parvati grabbing a case for Dr. Will? Even the Peacock or NBC Twitter was like, this is the type of strategy we live for. And I was like, interesting marketing of like, we definitely have somebody for Deal or No Deal Island doing the tweets of like, they know what kind of clips people want from their Twitter, and they are pumping them out like crazy last night. And I was like, kudos to them. I really like that strategy, because they do need Deal or No Deal to catch on. And I think we are in a 3 or 4 episode probably story that's going to be really compelling, where people will remember this stretch of episodes. So kudos to them. That's what I'm trying to say. But like, it was interesting where Parvati was like, Dr. Will explained his strategy to the audience. He's probably told at least one other person, and it's somehow gotten back to Parvati, of Dr. Will is going to try and play as much as possible. And that's bad for me, because if any of my crew is separate, like, yes, Dr. Will 50-50 goes home, but he's smart and can make that 50-50 be a 69-31. And then it's like, oh, he's going to get one of my people gone. So what I'm trying to say is Parvati going, I will pick a case for Dr. Will that keeps him safe, is crazy, because you want Dr. Will out, but it also protects your whole squad, unless Dixon is left unprotected and like just yells at CK, I'm going after you right after you after me.
Yeah.
And it's like I don't know if that's why there's a cliffhanger, because it's such an easy, like, CK just had Dixon yell in her face, and it's not really too much of a no-brainer of who she would eliminate if she gets this good deal. But it was just an interesting thing of like, great idea for Parvati, but she's one half case away from, if she gets the Maker's Bust, she's up for elimination. And like, if they're like, CK, no, this is actually part of the plan, we're gonna give you the shot, you win this deal and take out Parvati.
Yeah.
And then it's almost like Parvati almost masterminded her own ass out of the game, which I think is hilarious. Of like, there you can't think of everything. Like, we know watching Survivor, we know watching Big Brother, of the 10 years of doing it, we know, like, don't put yourself in this position at the merge, or don't ask Jeff for extra shit, because he'll be like, well, if you do that, I'm gonna take your machete, and you're like, oh my god. But we don't know what those don't get yourself intos are for Deal or No Deal Island yet. And it felt like Parvati was literally like, her ass was almost on the block for,
well,
like, crazy.
I just think there's,
which is interesting and fun. Like, that was cool.
Yeah. There's so much more to think about with this. And again, that goes back to what my earlier comment, like, I enjoy this show quite a bit. I do think ultimately season number Or I'd originally always felt like, you know, maybe Deal or No Deal Island's a better show than The Traitors, just because The Traitors, the concept is so silly. This season of The Traitors is blowing this season of Deal or No Deal Island out of the water, and there's really no questions about that. But what I do find very interesting about Deal or No Deal Island as a show is there's so much to be thinking about at all times. It's almost like you can't be on top of everything. You can't be in control of everything. You can think of, oh, I got to do this. I have to do this. I have to do this. And you still mess up and you still blow it and you still end up, you know, making a mistake. It's so easy to make a mistake in this game because you can't possibly cover everything, right? It's like you're in a Royal Rumble on Deal or No Deal Island. You're always going to be in some sort of danger. You can focus on the person in front of you and you can know that there's somebody behind you, but what about the guy who's coming from your left? Okay. Like you can't see it all. It makes the game super random. So maybe the strategy and the excitement of Deal or No Deal Island won't last as long as some of these other reality TV juggernauts like The Challenge, Big Brother, Survivor, even The Amazing Race, The Traitors, which seems like it's going to go on until we're dead. I feel like The Traitors is the new Real World Challenge Survivor thing that is just going to be there until there's no more reality TV stars. And Deal or No Deal Island might not have those types of legs, but as a fan watching this, you are watching something totally unique from the other shows because you can protect yourself from Dr. Will. But while you protect yourself from Dr. Will, can you protect yourself and everybody else in your alliance and ensure that somebody you want to go against the banker goes against the banker and ensure that if they win, none of your people can go home and ensure that you're not causing any drama between people you don't want to? And setting yourself up for next week and the week after to actually win this game, you literally can't do it. And I actually think that's making this much more enjoyable than it should be.
And we're having like infighting, which is always great. Of like, it didn't seem like it. Usually what happens on Survivor is you get about 6 days before somebody drives you absolutely bonkers.
Yeah.
And that feels like it's a little bit more whenever you're getting catering and you're sleeping in a tent and like Dr. Will's annoying, but like, oh, I'm just going to go eat my poke bowl over here and I'll be fine. But like now it feels like we've reached the 7 days of living together where fish and in-laws go bad or whatever. Like I don't want to be around some of these people while my poke bowl is being heated up or whatever. You don't heat up poke bowls, but like it is a thing where why is Philip mad about Parvati? And like, I think I love analogies more than anything, but if you told somebody like, I don't like when people do something of like, I was bullied for being fat in high school. If you share that with somebody and they go, Dr. Will's probably someone who made fun of fat people in high school. Like you don't, that person doesn't gingerly talk about it or like, it is manipulation. That's blatant manipulation. If you were like, oh, Dr. Will, I bet he bullied people in high school. That's a little bit less blatant. Or Dr. Will, probably being a plastic surgeon, has talked to a bunch of fat people and done lipo for them and probably doesn't care about fat people. Like, that's crazy. But like where I'm getting at is like Parvati straight up said, Dr. Will's probably somebody that Willie would have bullied you in high school. And instead of that being received well, I don't know. It seems like such a gross misstep from Parvati of like, we don't see all of her conversations on an island for Survivor. Who knows why she lost the Traitors because of a moment like this. But Parvati may very well lose. She lost an ally. She may lose the game because of this. I think they left it in on purpose of like, why would you say that to Philip when Philip clearly has a way he wants to think about his growing up, his stuff matters to him. He wants to be a person where you can look on screen and be proud of somebody who has gone through trials and tribulations that he has. Why take one of his trials and be like, Dr. Will probably would have been a roadblock for you instead of somebody that helps you is crazy to me.
Yeah, AJJJJJJ, maybe I said enough, maybe I didn't. Why does Philip have a one-sided beef with Parvati? Here's my thing. I agree that line seemed kind of harmless. It really did. Like, it didn't seem like it should have been something that irked Phillips so much. And so I wonder if that was the simplest version for our TV viewing audiences. And if there wasn't a deeper, more, a bigger conversation going on between Phillip and Parvati that maybe ultimately led to Phillip kind of getting annoyed. Maybe Parvati had really been harping on this as a reason to get rid of Dr. Will, or maybe she said something a little bit more that we didn't see. To me, it felt like the reaction was a little strong for what was said. But then again, I don't know what that was like because I was the person who was 79 pounds until freshman year of high school.
You were the bully.
No, I couldn't be a bully because I'd get snapped in half. But like my thing is, I am curious why that bothered him so much. And I get what Parvati's trying to do there, but I almost wonder if maybe Phillip was just aggravated that she's trying to manipulate him with something that he is more sensitive about. And that's why he ultimately is just like, Parvati, that's not what we're here for. Because I get, like, with other people in other seasons, this might work for Parvati to get them on the side and be like, don't you want to get rid of the guy who would have bullied you as a kid? But maybe at this point, Phillip's like, I'm over that. I don't need to deal with this. Who is Dr. Will now? Well, Dr. Will is the one going after Parvati. So really, Parvati's just trying to save her own ass with this.
Right. And I think, why is he mad with Parvati? Parvati lied to him.
Yeah.
And he was lying to Parvati as well. We did get a little bit more insight on that last. Go watch last week's episode. But it is like, oh, you're going to lie to me. And I thought we were 100%. And I did want to kind of be hypocritical because this is my first opportunity. This is your seventh opportunity to win some money. Mm-hmm. So, like, I do have some hypocriticality of like, I'm going to make you be more what I've seen you on TV instead of what I'm actually going to get. I think another moment that blew my mind where I'm like, what am I watching? This is fun. Was Dr. Will being like, what season of Survivor Australia did you win, bro?
That was great.
And he was like, no.
Now, do you think Dr. Will was tipped off in some way here? Like, I get his reasoning of saying, you're too polished for this to be your first time on TV. You know what you're doing. You're too charismatic. You're too good. He's also got to be feeling something with the Australian accent for sure. Cause like, why is there an Australian guy with long flowing hair on this season? But do you think he was tipped or do you think he's really just figuring this out?
I think here's one thing that I have not complained about. I've complained about this, but like whenever you do traders where it's half newbies and half celebrities, it is kind of like at a certain point, if Suri is still in the game, she's a traitor because the traitors would eliminate Suri because she's one of the best players of all time. Mm-hmm. And so I think this is very true of if you are a reality TV mind, you know certain things like this. And that's what Dr. Will is, a reality TV mind. Why are David and Parvati aligned? That doesn't make a lick of sense.
Yeah.
And because Parvati usually aligns with women in her winning seasons and then like Russell and like who did she align with on Traders? We'll see what happens.
She,
so like
with her aligning on Traders, she was really screwed because she was just stuck with Dan and the Traders. Like I said,
Phaedra didn't like her at all.
Yeah, it's a nonsense starting point because everybody's on the same.
You can't even take points of data from that. It's data points. So what I'm trying to say is Dr. Will is like, I don't think David and Parvati would be aligned in a regular season of this stuff. Mm-hmm. They would be at each other's throats, but their mom and dad, what did I miss that first day where I wasn't voted in? And then the only thing I think you can think of is like, he must be someone like me. And he's Australian, obviously. So what's the one show I know from Australia?
And he even said, I actually don't know if there is. I thought David actually played this off really well, where he said, like, is there Australian Survivor? I don't know. Like, or he called it Survivor Australia. Is there a Survivor Australia? The way he says it, and Dr. Will's like, well, I don't know. I think that helps David because Dr. Will probably really doesn't know if there's an Australian Survivor. Like, Dr. Will could probably care less if there's an Australian Survivor. But that is a really good point that you bring up there of if Parvati and David are really tight, why are they so tight? What is it that's making them bond so much stronger than Parvati is bonded with anybody else there? There's got to be something up that Dr. Will doesn't know, and he's kind of onto it, which is very fun and interesting to see.
And I do want to say, I think Dr. Will got what he wanted from this conversation easily.
Yeah.
Because David's face drops so dramatically during, like if you go back and watch that, there is a, I kicked the soccer ball in the house and broke your prize lamp, mom. I'm sorry face in there. And I was like, David, you're giving up everything. And like, Dr. Will's so good at that of like why lie to Dr. Will on that point? Like, is he going to blow you up and go say, oh, David was on a show? At this point, nobody can really care. You're 6 weeks into your new show and your new experience, or 6 days in. They're not going to be like, I'm throwing all that out. Like, you're already made your alliances at this point.
Yeah. Yeah.
Also,
I have to throw this up by Fender, though. Binged Big Brother 2 after last week's episode, and Dr. Will is that guy. Binge the whole season after last week's episode, Blake. Is that the smartest decision Fender ever made?
That's like 27 hours of content, maybe.
But you're actually not watching all less episodes, stuff, right?
No,
yeah.
That's still 27. Phil, it's 3 days a week for 9 or 10 weeks. So 27 or 30. It's iconic. I mean, it's literally 2001. Like they do, 9/11 happens while they're in the house. That's a touchstone where you could be like, if you weren't born for 9/11, you can literally go watch and see how three people interact, because it's final three at that point, which is crazy think of, like, our finales next week and this is what's happening. Weird segue, but like, yes, Dr. Will is that guy, and it is fun to have the context. Because then you're not like, who's this loser? You do have the, oh, this is just another bag of tricks, or another, not costume that Dr. Will's putting on, but I would say like another uniform of like, I'm going to work and this is my scumbag uniform because I'm choosing to be a scumbag on this show.
And it's working.
It's working.
It is like everybody wants him out, but now other people who feel like they're threats are trying to protect him.
Speaking of scumbags.
Uh-oh. Jeez, Dick, this is not Dick, a good start.
Dixon gets called out by CK and then returns a favor. Why do you think she went after him because of Storm? Is that her reasoning?
That was her reasoning. She didn't want it to be a random stray. He got rid of somebody. Yeah, so, and Mate Soto here says, but it isn't a uniform. Will has always been a scum.
Okay.
Don't come at Blake like that. Blake
he's
is
a great person, all right?
Yeah, Blake is not
going to stand that. He donates to the food bank, probably. I don't know.
So, it seemed like that was her reason. The thing is, and this is something that I hope the show gets better at as we move away, because I have seen, talking to Philip on the podcast and then having some of the statements that have been made on the show, I hope the show gets better at showing the in the hut life, like getting better at actually showing the social game that's going on that we as an audience aren't getting to see. Because I do feel like a lot of the alliance making and everything is happening in those tents at night or when they're just hanging out, whatever. And it doesn't seem like it's all that fun to look at. So the producers and the camera people are trying to avoid conversations happening there, and they'd rather have them happen on this private island. Look how beautiful the ocean is. Look at the dock and all of these different, comfortable chairs and swings and whatever. And I hope they get better at showing that other stuff, because I'm sure there's more with Dixon and CK there than what we were led to believe. I do feel like Dixon is probably doomed in this situation, but I think there's so many more layers to it than what we've actually heard.
And I think what I'm excited for is the setup for like the back half of the season of there's going to be 8 people left after this decision of either CK goes home or she eliminates one of Seychelle, Lushell, or Dixon. Mm-hmm. And I think it's an obvious Dixon thing.
So that she's going to win this, right? They wouldn't have left us on a cliffhanger if she was going to lose.
I mean, I think she's like just getting started of like, yeah. I'm angry. And like, why would you be like, let's pay off our audience if she flames out and goes home, or we need to set up, this is going to be the most explosive screw you, screw you, screw you you're going home, deal or no deal, because she hates Dixon. And then everyone's fallout of that is the first 20 minutes of the next episode. And then it'd be like, okay. Like, I think we don't want to lose Dixon. Oh, not Dixon. No. But I do think that final eight we're lining up of, we've got the four biggest threats and then the four, like, Leté's playing the middle. It's like this episode's perfect for that, of all the threats are safe, all the non-threats are safe, and Leté is legitimately in the middle making a decision. So I think moving forward, it's like, what is Leté's decision of, is she going to, I have to eliminate all those people on the top? Because we do hear Parvati say, everyone's really starting to think about the physical threats moving forward. I'm like, I need somebody else to say that, maybe? Or yeah. like, how are we... We need Lachelle and Seychelle to talk to each other. Of like, we can't beat David and we can't beat Philip. We got to go after them this episode.
Yeah.
But like, they're aligned with Philip too. So I do think it's like, how do we get to the end where there's not three of these four threats still alive? Because Seychelle can't jump off a freaking building.
Well, yeah. And I do feel like I feel like as the game goes on, as we get lower and lower in the numbers, fewer people will be totally safe from being able to be pointed at by the person who wins Deal or No Deal. But then it still comes down to, you need the person who plays Deal or No Deal to win that game in order to get rid of one of these threats. I mean, Dr. Will wants to play Deal or No Deal every time. Clearly, he just wants to make the biggest explosions on TV here. He doesn't actually want to win the game. Maybe he does, but he's like, I want to be in control of everything. But you still have to win the game in order to be in control of everything. So I don't know if I'd keep on putting all my eggs in the playing against the banker basket. But what do
one
I know?
One thing I kind of want to say, as we're like developing the strategy for season two of this game, is kind of like, we got rid of Luke in the first episode. Sydney goes home in episode two, Storm in three. I mean, I don't think people were afraid of Rock physically. They're not afraid of MG physically. We're going to lose another person. We're not physically like, I think you have to get rid of these physical competitors, but it's almost too late. Of like, Dixon getting rid of Storm almost just like blew open the game of like, now David, whenever he wants to take the best case, or whenever Philip can, like, I think what's funny and hard to connect with is the idea of like, oh, it's going to be based on the draw we do. We're randomly going to be given these decisions. And it's almost, you have to randomly get the draw to go after, I'm going to go grab a case for David and get him the low case immediately, is probably how this was developed. But somehow all the threats are safe.
Yeah.
And you're like, how did this clear competition where we could sabotage end up keeping all these people good to go? And there's no clear, like, that person needs to go. And this almost feels like a tribe swap situation. If you could have been swap screwed here.
Yeah.
And it's like, everyone got on perfect tribes. You're like, what?
Yeah. I am curious how this will play out. Cause I feel like if Dixon goes, it's clearly CK, Seychelle, Lachelle. But then it's also like, but not really, because nobody's going to want to work with CK. So now CK, here's the tricky part. If CK gets rid of Dixon, CK might be getting rid of one of the few people who would be willing to work with her. Because right now, she might almost have to go to the family in order to move further in this game. Because she just called out Leté and Philip. Philip, you know, we got the comment here from Fender, because Parvati thinks she can play Philip, and he proved that if someone goes low, he'll go underground. He's going underground. I mean, so Philip's
that is one of the
not working with her.
Okay. We just had Philip on last week. But you watched that episode yesterday. One thing I want to say is that's a crazy line, Philip.
It's great.
like, do you have that one? Like, you're flying to Panama and you're like, man, if anybody ever says they're gonna take the high road, I'll go on the Underground Railroad is crazy.
Yeah,
but that's what he's implying. Like, go look.
I mean, he made a Harriet Tubman reference, didn't he?
Yeah. You haven't thought about these people in 15 years, probably. Go read that Wikipedia again. Get some History Month going. And it is like, it is an interesting cliffhanger of Philip is not the person doing the deal. Mm-hmm. He's not somebody that's even Like, I think one thing we say in Drag Race fandom, which was, that's a lot of talking for someone who's safe or whatever. That's a lot of crying for someone who's safe. And Philip, just, can you just sit there while something, and like, thank God he can't. That's why he's on reality TV, is you do want to put the people who can't sit there and just let it blow over. He's like, because honestly, Parvi's kind of goading him the whole Deal or No Deal time of like, Philip's been naughty, naughty. And I do think there's some people that she's been aligned with in the past that would laugh that off and go, oh, you know me, like, we're all playing a game. But Philip is like pissed.
Yeah.
And like, no, I'm not going to go there. You're not going to get me mad. And then CK puts another layer on top, and then he immediately goes there and immediately gets mad. I think the other thing we're forgetting about is Latte literally says to CK, if you are still around, I'm going to take off your freaking
I'm going to kill you. Yeah. It's like, get out of my house. No, I love that. I thought that was great from her. Yeah, I like it, though, because I also feel like with some of these civilians, air quotes, I feel like with some of the civilians, some of them are pushovers. Some of them don't do much. Or you get somebody like Seychelle, who it does seem like sometimes is just being loud to be loud. Like early in like the first episode, it seemed like she was just being loud to be loud. I feel like CK felt like she could push, push, push. And we finally got Philip to be like, all right, this is my time. Like, I'm gonna show up now. And that was good to see. Because on the first season, we didn't have it really to that extreme. And it's nice to see civilians fighting with civilians on this season and really going at it. Because that makes for a more interesting game. It can't just evolve around David, Parvati, and Dr. Will, and every argument goes towards them because they've played games before. No, it's good to see some of these other people breaking out of their shells. And CK's big time on the defensive because she cheated at the game, and now everybody's against her. But then Philip is like, well, I'm going to be defensive because I don't feel like I can trust Parv as much as I thought I could. I don't really think that Parv has my best interest in mind. She pissed me off. And now you're blowing up my game. It's time for me to show up. And I think he did. And I think that was fun. It is a good cliffhanger. And it's a different ending than we've seen the show have because of two civilians. And none of the power players are in danger. And Philip's not in danger. But it's still an interesting cliffhanger.
Have you watched David's season of Survivor Australia?
Yes, I watched his first season, and I have two episodes left of All Stars.
So, okay, text He's me incredible. Which one he wins. Text me which one he wins or whatever.
Yeah, he wins All Stars is what I have learned. If he doesn't win All Stars, I will be floored.
So he is the Amber or Sandra, Heroes Vicious Villains. But like, what I'm trying to say is I don't think we've seen all the juice of David yet.
No, we haven't.
So I'm trying to set up the second half of the season. We are officially 6 episodes done. There's 12 episodes. Like, a Dr. Will boot episode, a Philip boot episode, a David boot episode is possible. I think CK, whether she goes now or whatever, like, somebody's going to get backstabbed. I think we just have, like, if you thought the last two episodes were good, we have at least like 2 or 3 major, like, these people all can't get to the end together. So yeah, Somebody's going to get backstabbed. If we're already having somebody blow up on it, felt like, okay, DK cheated, she needs to go home, but she's going to make it. She's going to blow up everything. Like, I'm sure that everyone thought that this was going to be an easy night, and it blows up. And like, I think there's just going to be a nonstop, like, these challenges are going to matter way more. And it will come down to like, who is available to go. And like, I'm going to play a coin flip Deal or No Deal to try and take them out is like, I'm now excited for the back half of this. And like, even if it's the worst case scenario, we maybe still have Dr. Will in the final three somehow. And you're like, okay, cool. Like, I love that.
and before we wrap this, it's like, when you talk about David, he's one of the few people who manages to win an All-Star season with a target on his back. Like, he goes into
the Tony of
as a threat. Like, he's sitting around a bunch of people near the end. And granted, like I said, I have two episodes, but he's pretty much said he won Australian Survivor. I'm pretty sure other people have said it. So like, I know he's going to win the season. And at this point, it was pretty obvious to me because he's sitting around people who nobody was going to beat. And I'm recording this episode for our patrons on Friday, so I'm literally going to finish the episodes tomorrow. But the thing is, with David, he is an unbelievable strategist. He is really aggressive. He is a camera hog. He's kind of turned all of that off.
He hasn't used any of that at all.
He's turned it off big time. And I'm talking both of his seasons. Like, both of his seasons, he's incredible. He pulls, I would argue, and you know I love U.S. Survivor more than anything. Australian Survivor, people overrate like crazy. It's still very good, but it's overrated as hell. He pulls one of the greatest moves in Survivor history, like in the history of any version I've seen, at final 22 of Australian Survivor. Like, it is just, that's the type of game he normally plays.
It was final 22. They were a threat. They had to go.
Dude, here you go. The Daisy boot. Phil loves it so much. It is so ridiculous.
I mean, explain it for everyone, because I'm a lot of people aren't going to watch final 22 of
I would blow it, but essentially David is leading one alliance, and then this guy Matt is leading another alliance, and they are working together. And look, I binged the hell out of it, but they essentially pull a blindside on somebody while working together but being on opposing sides of everything that's going on. And it is so unbelievably well executed. And you just, like, go watch a YouTube video about it. It's one of the best moves. And it happens so early in the season, but that's how David plays. David can't take the easy route. He can't take the simple route. So I am a little shocked that he has taken the easy route, and he has taken the simple route on this show. But I think he also realizes this is a different show. He doesn't really have a choice.
And if Dixon does go home in the first 10 minutes of next episode, that's the shield that he was talking about of, like, I don't really care if Dixon goes. Like, I think that will kind of, like, okay, I need to win one of these dailies. I need to get the best case. Like, I don't think any strategy when it comes to I'm going to take over the deal or no deal thing. I think that's Will's strategy that he's going to stick to. But there's no real merit to that, because it's a 50-50 coin flip every time. Yeah. So, like, it's just... I think what's cool about the, it's not a kamikaze strategy. It kind of is, of like, if anybody's going to go home, I'm going to choose, or I'll go home, is a very all in, high risk, high reward of either I get to shape how this game goes, or I just go home. And, like, people that have a bunch of money and have won a season already, that makes sense for them. Somebody who's doing this shit for the first time probably cannot even afford that line of thinking.
Yeah.
Dale, it was a cliffhanger. We do not know.
His DVR stopped.
There are still nine people. Your DVR did not stop, actually. Yeah. It recorded the whole episode. And CBS, or what is it? NBC just did not give you a boot.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for our coverage of episode number 6. That's going to do it. We're going to be doing episode number 7 next Wednesday. And then on premiere day of Survivor, Blake and I will be taking time during the day to recap Deal or No Deal Island episode number 8. It's about to just... Australian Survivor starts Monday, and then U.S. Survivor starts Wednesday the 26th. I'm about to be in the ultimate ringer that I have never been in before. Australian, U.S., Deal or No Deal Island, the traders, all going on at the same time. Oh, what fun. So, and it's Oscar time. So for the movie podcast, we're doing Oscar stuff. We're doing the worst Best Picture nominees since 2000 on Monday night, which is going to be a really fun episode. Come listen to me.
Somebody send Phil $20 so he has room to
become a patron. Patreon.com/specialist. There it is. You can get all of our additional coverage. Blake and I recording a casting perspective episode right after this, and we'll be putting that up in within the next 45 minutes. So thank you all so much for listening. Like this video, subscribe to the channel. Let us know what you thought of the episode and who you think is going to take this whole thing home. And we will see you next Wednesday if you're into the traders. I'll see you on Thursday. If you're into U.S. Survivor, which I know you all are, tonight Will and I will be live with Peridium at 6 p.m. Eastern time doing our Survivor 48 prop bet game. See you later, everybody.
See ya.
At Ability Chiropractic, they do things differently. They believe lasting health starts with understanding how your body truly works, not masking pain with quick fixes. Their doctors take time to educate and empower you to take control of your wellness journey. Through gentle, customized adjustments, they help you restore proper function and unlock your body's natural healing power. That's why Columbus families have trusted Ability Chiropractic since 2012. See the difference for yourself. Book your appointment today at abilitychiro.com.
CODA salutes those who served. Veterans Ride Free Tuesday, November 11th, and every other day of the year, our veterans and active duty military personnel get a 50% discount on all fares. It's all part of CODA's ongoing commitment to show appreciation for your selfless service. To ride at no cost on fixed routes, tell your bus operator that you're a veteran or use code VET2025 in the app to use CODA Plus. Veterans Ride Free on Tuesday, November 11th for Veterans Day. Veterans get a 50% discount every day on CODA. Plan your ride and learn more at CODA.com/trip planner.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring. Right.